So, September is here, and for many of us, that means Ravens football. Ravens are what, now 4-0 in the preseason. They're going into the regular season undefeated. First game is coming up next Sunday. And that means that if you're a diehard Ravens fan, you'll either be cheering them on in the stands or in front of a TV screen. Or if you're coming to the church picnic, remember to set your DVR so you won't miss a moment and come enjoy the picnic, and then you can go home and watch the game. And not only that, but you probably will be wearing purple on Friday. Purple Fridays, when the Ravens win, you're ecstatic. When they lose, you are dejected. What happens to the team affects you personally because you identify with them. That's why we wear these team jerseys. You can identify with your favorite player. But just as the Ravens have lots of fans in this neck of the woods, Jesus had lots of fans 2,000 years ago as he was making that journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. Thousands of people following him, huge crowds. Jesus fans. Jesus was indeed a very popular figure. Everyone knew him as a great healer and teacher and preacher. They had seen or heard about the awesome miracles he had performed. He was also popular for embarrassing the religious leaders that many of the people saw to as holier than thou. So I imagine if there were Jesus shirts for sale back in those days, all the Jesus fans would have been wearing their Jesus t-shirts. Hooray for Jesus! And everything was going fine, this huge crowd following Jesus. Isn't this great? We get to be with Jesus, and then Jesus turns around and looks at the people and says, whoever wants to come with me does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and indeed even hate your own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. None of you, my fans, can become a disciple of mine unless you give up everything you have. And then when Jesus was finished, he turned around and he kept on walking, leaving the crowd to do whatever they were going to do with what Jesus had just said. So why did Jesus treat his fans so harshly? Because Jesus wasn't looking for fans. He was looking for committed disciples. People who were prepared to go out on the field with Jesus to join him in his mission no matter what the cost. Leaving everything behind. Because Jesus knew that that's what he was about to do. This journey that Jesus was making to Jerusalem was going to cost him his life. It was going to end on a bloody cross. And Jesus knew that those who would follow him all the way would also have to deal with their own cross. And you thought season tickets to the Ravens were expensive. Now don't get me wrong. It's not that Jesus didn't love the crowd. He loved them all to death. His disciples, his fans, even his enemies. He willingly gave his life on the cross for each and every one of them, for each and every one of us, whether or not we decide to follow him. But if the whole world is going to be reached with the good news of his love, in word and example, Jesus doesn't need fans, he needs disciples. So what's the difference between a Jesus fan and a Jesus disciple? Well, imagine this. Imagine that you're in the stands one day for a Ravens game. You're wearing your Ravens jersey. You're in there cheering for the team. And right in the middle of the game, Joe Flacco calls a timeout. He walks up into the stands. He walks up to you. He takes off his helmet. He hands it to you. And then he gives you the football. And he says, "You're going in for me." So you put on the helmet, you take the football, you walk down onto the field, and you're standing there over the center ready to receive the snap, while about a ton of human flesh is ready to come charging at you. That's what it means to be a disciple. To be in the game. To be on the field. Being a fan is easy. Being a disciple, not so easy. Now, of course, nothing like that would ever really happen at a Ravens game. NFL football is, of course, a spectator sport, played for the benefit of the fans. No fan would ever be expected to suit up and play. But Christianity, however, is not a spectator sport. Everyone is on the team, and that means you and me. Everyone is expected to suit up and play. And the only ones in the stands cheering us on are those who have gone before us in the faith, the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on from heaven. And so every week when we gather for worship, we're not here for a pep rally to power up the fans, but we're here for a team meeting with our coach who corrects us, encourages us, discusses strategy, gives us our orders, and then sends us out on the field to carry out his strategy as a team for the rest of the week. But the problem is, we have become such a society of spectators that spectator mentality has seeped into the church and turned far too many Christians into mere spectators. So it's time for the church to wake up and to be the church of Jesus Christ, every member utterly committed to the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. It's right there in our mission statement. If you look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see it. It's there every Sunday. It's in small print. Maybe it shouldn't be. Our mission as disciples. Notice it says disciples, not fans. Our mission as disciples of Jesus is to commit ourselves to making Christ known through worship, through service, through outreach, through learning, through loving one another. In everything that we do as a congregation, every member of this church, every moment of every day, we're here to make Christ known, that others, all those around us, can have the opportunity to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, so that all those around us can have the opportunity themselves to become part of the team, to suit up and get out there on the field with the rest of us, so that the mission of God for which Jesus gave his life can continue to move forward. You might think that a church that expects all of this of every member might have a hard time finding and keeping members. But in fact, the opposite is true. Churches who expect little of themselves and others, or where those expectations are not clearly defined or communicated, are the ones who have the hardest time finding and keeping members. But high expectation congregations are in fact more likely to be lively and healthy and growing. Jesus is a high expectation Lord. He expects a lot from his disciples. In fact, he expects everything. And of course, he also gives everything so that he can expect everything. All that we give to our Lord is simply what he gives to us. breathing His life, His love, His power into us through His Holy Spirit so that we can be His people, be about His work in the world. Today is a day for us to take a moment to count the cost. What will it cost you to live every moment of every day as a committed disciple of Jesus Christ? What might you have to give up in your life in order for your life to be more fully and completely centered in Christ and in His mission? Today is a day for us all to dedicate ourselves to this mission.